from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Dave Iverson. 4 years ago, Jeffrey Beard, then the head of the Pennsylvania prisons, testified in federal court that California's prison system was overcrowded and unsafe. Today, Jeffrey Beard is responsible for running the system he once criticized. Governor Brown appointed the one-time critic to head up the Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation, and we'll talk to him in the hour ahead. And then at 9:30, filmmaker Sari Gilman joins us. Her new Oscar-nominated film is a provocative look at human relationships within one Florida retirement community. It's all ahead on Forum after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Dave Iverson.
We've gone from serious constitutional problem to one of the finest prison systems in the United States.
That was Governor Jerry Brown a few weeks back making the case to reduce federal oversight of California's prisons. And Exhibit A in the governor's case for prison independence is his appointment of Jeffrey Beard as the new head of the Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation. Beard was once a tough critic of California's prisons. His testimony was cited frequently in the 2009 federal court order to reduce California's overcrowded prison population. Since then, California has cut its population dramatically from a one-time high of over 150,000 to 119,000. And now it's Jeffrey Beard's job to lead and improve the prison system he once found lacking. Dr. Jeffrey Beard is a psychologist by training, former head of the Pennsylvania State Correction System. He took over California's prison system 2 weeks ago, and he joins us this morning from Sacramento. Dr. Beard, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining
us. It's a pleasure. Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here today.
The federal court order would still say that California's prison system should shrink further from 119 down to 110. Do you feel, as the governor seems to feel, that that's not necessary?
Yes, I don't believe it's necessary for a further reduction to meet constitutional standards. I think that the California system today is providing a constitutional level of care for both medical and mental health. I think a drop of 43,000 inmates is a historic drop. It's nobody else in the country has dropped their population that much and that fast. And at the current level, I believe that we can run good, safe institutions and provide constitutional care to the inmates.
The federal overseer, as you know, Clark Kelso, isn't in agreement. He has said that overcrowding still causes, quote, a cascade of consequences that substantially interferes with the delivery of care, care referring, of course, to medical care in particular. Why is Clark Kelso wrong?
Well, I don't know that he's wrong. First of all, he didn't say that the system is unconstitutional. He said that he hasn't seen enough evidence yet of whether or not the system is unconstitutional. He has been responsible for providing the medical care over the last 5 or 6 years, and I think he's done a better job than he gives himself credit for.
Hmm. In what way? Why would you make the argument that care is now sufficient?
Well, you know, first of all, if we want to look at the medical care, the inspector general who oversees the department in that area has been out to all of the institutions and on a regular basis does inspections and has found the medical care to be quite good. And in fact, you know, we see the scores getting higher and higher every time he goes out and does an inspection. So that's the one thing that I look at, and that's an independent thing. I mean, he doesn't work for CDCR. He's totally independent. He's out there, and he's looking at how are we managing and doing things. The second thing is I've had an opportunity. I was out here for about 2 years now, serving as a consultant prior to taking this job, and I've been in over 20 of the institutions. I've had an opportunity to go through the healthcare areas, the various infirmaries and hospital areas that they have, had an opportunity to see the care that inmates are receiving. And these areas are busy areas. People are coming in and going and getting treated. Inmates who have a health care problem can probably get to see a doctor quicker than you or I could get to see a doctor. The care is being provided, and I've been able to observe that. So I think for those reasons, that's why I think he's not giving himself enough credit.
One of the things that you pointed to in some of your past observations and criticism of the system was the high suicide rate among inmates. And Mr. Kelso suggests that continues to be a problem. There's one suicide every 11 days in California's prisons. You're a psychologist by training. What do you make of that continuing to be a problem? And also, why, in your judgment, isn't that in itself sufficient to suggest that California needs to do more to reduce overcrowding?
Well, first of all, I think the key factor in whether or not constitutional care is being provided on the mental health side, and when you talk suicides, you tend to look more at the mental health care than the medical care. But the key issue is, are people being properly identified? Their mental health needs, are they being identified? Are they being referred? And are they being moved to the proper level of care in a timely manner? And the answer to that is yes. As far as suicides go, while the rate remains higher than I would like to see it, I think the goal is always zero suicides. It's an unfortunate fact that we'll probably never get there, but we can continue to work on it and can continue to try to bring that number down. If you compare California's suicides with other states, you find there's at least 15 states that have the same or higher suicide rate than California does. So, while California certainly would like to do better, and we will do better, it's not like it's the worst suicide rate in the country. Another thing to keep in mind is that while there's been a significant drop in the population, 43,000 inmates, unfortunately, across the board, you don't see the same kind of reduction in mental health cases. So we still have almost as many – there has been some reduction there – but almost as many mental health cases, and it's from that group where most of your suicides do come, as there was before. So I think that's one of the reasons why we're not seeing it come down all that quickly.
Dr. Jeffrey Beard joining us. He's the new secretary of California's Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation. We'd welcome your participation in our conversation as well. If you have a question about prisons in California that you'd like to pose to the new secretary, you can join us at 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786. You can also email us at forum@kqed.org or post your thoughts or questions on our website or on our Facebook page. You mentioned that there is still this high number of people, even though the overall numbers have gone down, that there's a high number of people who are at some risk in terms of their mental health. Is that in part because of what's known as realignment, that there have been this vast shift of people who committed non-serious, non-violent crimes who've now been shifted to the county jails? Does that mean that those who are left behind are those who are more prone to having more difficult problems?
Well, yes. Well, first of all, the ones that are left behind are the more violent offenders. Most of the less serious offenders now have been moved out of the system. So you have primarily your violent and your more difficult prisoners left there. When you look at mental health inmates or mental health prisoners as a group, they tend to get longer sentences than some of the less serious offenders. Part of the reason is that if you have an individual who has a serious mental health problem and they're a lower level offender, they may be diverted and kept in the community and may never make it into the system. And of course, under realignment, they wouldn't come now anyway. But it's the ones who commit the more serious offenses and are mentally ill. Those are the people that tend to come in the system, and that's why those numbers are still up. And then while you have a smaller population, you do have a more difficult population to deal with.
As far as how realignment is working, I'm curious about your assessment of it. because one concern that would seem to rise to the surface at this point but would be whether or not the problem of overcrowding at the state level is now being passed on to the counties. The jail population in Los Angeles County, as I understand it, for example, has gone up by 25%. So is this a situation where we're kind of handing off the problem to the counties? How do you assess what's going on at the county level now?
No, I don't think we're handing the problem off to the counties. I think we're more appropriately keeping lower-level offenders who are serving shorter sentences in the community. We're keeping them there so they can maintain contacts with their families, perhaps keep any jobs that they may have. I think it's an appropriate realignment to take those less serious offenders, not put them in the prison system. Prison systems are made for people who are the more violent offenders, people serving longer sentences. When you put these less serious offenders into the prison system, then you in many ways you could make them more serious because they associate with the more serious offenders. So I think, number one, we've done the right thing here in California by realigning those less serious offenders and keeping them in the counties. And I would hope that they don't all get caught up in the jails, but that we look at doing alternative things, because that's really why you want to divert them. You want to – you know, many of those people have substance abuse problems, for instance. So you want to deal with the substance abuse problem, you know, at the community level rather than sending them into the prison system. And, of course, we also under Proposition 30, there's now a guarantee that funding is moving there so that the counties can handle these cases. So it's not like, you know, just we moved a whole bunch of people into the counties and, you know, now they're responsible for it. We also moved the funding, the consequent funding. So we moved the right people to the counties and we gave the counties the funding to be able to deal with those individuals.
Jeffrey Beard, again, the new secretary of California's Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation. If you have a question for the new secretary, join us at 866-733-6786. Let's go to Emily first with a question for the secretary. Emily, go ahead, please.
Hi, my name is Emily, and I'm with Californians United for a Responsible Budget. And I'm just super curious to find out from the new secretary how you all are planning to continue to reduce the population now that the court has come back and given the extended deadline, and particularly interested in what strategies you all might use that would avoid building additional prison cells.
Dr. Beard?
Well, you know, first of all, I don't think anybody wants to build additional prison cells. I think there was a plan that was put out there to help further reduce the population if the court, in fact, ordered it. I'm still hopeful that we will have some further hearings on that matter and that perhaps things can still change. I think we've already moved enough inmates to the counties. I think we need to give them some opportunity to adjust to the change, to take the funding that they got, to set up these alternative programs. So, you know, my hope would be that we don't move more inmates. But if we do have to move more inmates, the plan was to give some additional credits to some of the violent offenders, which would allow them to get out of prison earlier. And then there was also there would be additional contract beds, perhaps in-state contract beds or those kinds of things, rather than actually building new prisons, because I don't think anybody wants to do that.
Emily, thanks for the call. Jeffrey Beard, what about the impact of the passage of the reform of the three strikes law? One, do you support that, making that a policy where people – are less likely to be sent to prison after committing a third offense? And will that also have the impact of a long term of reducing the prison population?
Well, certainly. And I do support the change, because what you're doing is taking offenders who maybe have those first two strikes and now they commit some very minor crime and they get that third strike. I don't think that's what the three-strike law was meant to do. So I think the change that was, you know, voted on by the people of California, I think that's a good one. And I think it will, as years move forward, help reduce the population. I don't think over the short term, say over the next 2 or 3 years, we're going to see any real significant drop as a result of that, however.
What about progress in terms of easing down the rate in which people wind up being sent back to prison for additional offenses? I guess the R part of your title in terms of corrections and rehabilitation. Have we learned more about whether or not rehabilitation is really possible so that we don't have this revolving door of people being released and then committing offense and going back to prison?
Yeah, I think we have. I think rehabilitation is a viable thing. It's a viable option. It's not easy work, but there are programs out there that if they're done correctly, primarily substance abuse programs, educational programs, vocational training programs, that if you do them correctly, provide them to the inmates while they're in prison, you can impact and in some cases fairly substantially impact on the recidivism rates and bring them down. And, you know, I have always thought in my career that that's our public safety responsibility. It's as much our public safety responsibility to provide programs to people so that they're more likely to succeed when they get out as it is for us to hold the inmates while they're with us.
And does that mean that there is, again, that mental health services are key? Jeffrey writes this note on our Facebook page. With the big national push on mental health to combat gun violence, do you anticipate a rush for more mental health services in the prison system? Do we need more counselors in the system? It's an interesting point. I mean, if that is part of what we need to do a better job with, do you need to do that much more given the epidemic of gun violence?
You know, I don't think that what we've seen with the gun violence out there is going to have a major impact on the prison system. You might see some increase, but I don't think it's going to be a major increase. There just aren't that many people out there that do those kinds of serious things. As far as the system itself right now, the California mental health system is very well positioned to deal with the mentally ill people that they have. I think they're doing an excellent job, and I think there's enough capacity and there's more capacity that's going to be brought online as we get towards the middle of this year. I think there's enough of that capacity out there that if there is any increase as we move forward, that can certainly be handled.
Let's go to another question. Alfred wants to take us to a different kind of challenge facing the prison system. Alfred, go ahead.
Oh, yes. Good morning. I have a question about the jail guard union. Now, the jail guards paid Pete Wilson $2 million, and in return, he gave them 3 strikes and you're out, which is basically a job program for jail guards. And these guys have a GED and 1 felony, and they're just way overpaid. And I want to know what you're going to do about that.
Dealing with the prison guard union. Jeff Beard.
Well, first of all, I think you have to realize that the job that the corrections officers do to protect the public safety is a very difficult job. And they work hard. They work hard every day. I've been in many prisons here in California. This is an excellent, highly professional group of people. And I think that the salary, the benefits they get, you know, are certainly appropriate for the work that they do.
So that sounds like that's not a battle you want to wage. I mean, the power of the prison guards union, as Alfred suggests, has been a long-tenured one in California. It doesn't sound like that's something that you want to take up.
Well, you know, I don't have anything to take up at this particular point.
Question from Daniel. I'm curious as to what percentage of prisons in California are privately run for profit. The combination of a variety of organizations and privately run prisons mean companies profiting from higher density prisons are also assisting in the writing of legislation. What about that? Are there what's the usage of that in California? I don't know. And to what degree do you see that being something that would continue in the future?
Well, first of all, we have about 9,000 inmates that are out of state in private facilities. And then there's, I think, a few thousand in-state that are in contracted facilities. I see those numbers coming down. And in fact, under the blueprint, the corrections blueprint plan, the out-of-state beds over the next 3 years or so are supposed to be brought down. And so we won't be using any out-of-state private facilities. And I would also see the in-state use of facilities going down. So I think any use of private facilities is probably going to diminish over the next 3 or 4 years, unless, of course, the courts don't back off of requiring the state to reduce the population another 10,000 inmates.
What are you thinking about as far as one of the other challenges you face, which is the lawsuit dealing with those who are in isolation units at some California prisons? As I understand it, there's been an effort now to begin to transfer some of those inmates who have been in some of those isolation units for as long as 20 years. This is another issue that gets into the whole question of what constitutes cruel and unusual punishment. Do you concur with that approach, that we need to get people out of those isolation units? How do you foresee that developing in the years ahead?
Well, I think certainly there are probably some inmates that are in the isolation units that should be released, and I think that's why CDCR embarked on a plan a little over a year ago to review everybody who was in those long-term segregation units and to release those people that didn't need to be there any longer, and those that they didn't feel were ready for release, to offer a step-down program that they could get involved in, that they could work through to get themselves out. So, and the other thing is they've moved more towards a behavior management approach with those units. So it's no longer that you just get validated, say, as a gang member and go to one of these units. But you have to have some misbehavior as well. So, I mean, I think they're going in the right direction. I think we're going in the right direction. And I think we're going to continue to do that. And I think we'll see less people in long-term segregation. Now, that being said, it's an unfortunate fact of life that there are just some inmates who require that type of segregation to protect staff and to protect other inmates or to protect the public.
Just have about 30 seconds left. So just a last thought from you on why you wanted to take this job at this point in your career and what you hope to accomplish.
Well, I think the main reason is because California has now dealt with a severe overcrowding problem, and it positions a CDCR, the corrections agency, to now do some things programmatically and operationally that they would have liked to have done over the years, but they really couldn't do because the system was just so massively overcrowded.
And 10 seconds on how we should judge you. What would make your tenure a success?
Well, I hope to make the prison safer. I hope to reduce lockdowns and to reduce the amount of contraband in prisons. And I hope to reduce the recidivism rate through the addition of programming and evidence-based programming.
Dr. Jeffrey Beer, the new Secretary of California's Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation. Thanks for joining us today. Best of luck.
All right. Thank you.
This is Forum on KQED. I'm Dave Iverson.